comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It's the show where you matter. Showing on our TV channel right now is a picture of my gorgeous wife. And the reason for that is Mother's Day is coming up. And, of course, you know, I kind of look for excuses to show her picture and excuses to show my son's picture and my grandkids, and I'm just kind of that way, you know. But anyway, here's the deal. The deal is Mother's Day is coming up, and we got in on your behalf, actually, but we got in on a special deal that is being offered by 1-800-Flowers for Mother's Day. And works like this. You can send your mom, actually there are several selections, bouquets of flowers, different selections, different bouquets that you can choose from, starting at $19.99. Now you still have time to do this, and if you want to get in on it, then go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, click on the flowers ad. It's up on the right-hand side of the website. Just click on that. Now, when that page opens, look at the top right-hand side of the page that opens, and you'll see a little microphone. And if you click on that microphone, it will take you to the page that has these special deals for Mother's Day. But it ends tomorrow. And so, you know, I wanted to make sure if you want to get in on it, then that's how you do it. That's the place to go, and I don't want you to miss it. Consequently, because of Mother's Day, we also sent the K-Files out early. We sent it out today, and I told you yesterday we were going to do that, and because also in the K-Files I put an ad for these flowers. Now, let me be honest with you. We do get a very small commission if you purchase flowers through this ad. But it is so small, it doesn't pay for the ad space. There's no way that it even pays for the airtime to talk about it. It's there because moms are really special, and times are really tough. And $19.99 is a great price, so that's why it's there. And because it ends tomorrow, I wanted everyone that subscribes to the K-Files to know about it, everyone listening to the show to know about it. And, you know, if you haven't sent your mom something for Mother's Day, this would be a great choice, a great selection. It's not expensive. And as I said, we get a tiny, tiny little commission off of it if you purchase something. But believe me, the total amount we will get will not even pay for the airtime it took to advertise it. It's there because it's a great deal, and your mom is special. So you need to do something for her. One of the big things that people have been talking about on the internet, we're going to talk about it tonight. Has an intelligent alien signal actually been discovered? We'll be back right after this. My guest this evening is someone that everyone at the Kevin Smith Show, everybody in the audience all over the world, knows and has responded to quite powerfully and positively. And I am delighted that he's back with us this evening, James Horak. Welcome back to the show, James.
Thank you, Kevin. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. James, when I contacted you about being on the show tonight, I told you that I really wanted us to kind of focus on a couple of things. And one of those things is this signal. Let me give the audience a quick background about this signal. Here's the story, folks. I think most of you who listen to this show are familiar with Wayne Herschel. I have interviewed him most recently on the show. He was interviewed by Jerry Wills. And Wayne Herschel leaked out some information on the internet that he had received from a friend of his. Now, this friend of his is an astronomer at an observatory that is under contract to NASA. On the internet, a lot of the headlines about this say NASA astronomer, but that's not it. She's a NASA affiliated astronomer. Her name is Judy Faltskog. No, that's not correct. Faltskog. F-A-L-T-S-K-O-G. Faltskog. Now, Judy Faltskog, as the story has come to us, in communication with Wayne Herschel, told him that they have detected an intelligent signal coming from the direction of, are you ready for this, Aldebaran in the Taurus constellation. How do you say this? Aldebaran. I can't say it, but I guess you can ask Princess Leia. Princess Leia, talked about that planet quite often. It's coming from there. And according to the reports, all of these radio observatories all over the planet started lighting up as soon as this hit the internet and focusing, trying to pick up this signal. Now, I knew about this on the day it broke, but I've held off on it because I wanted to see how this story developed. And I've done several stories now, or several shows now, on how this kind of information is supposed to be handled according to official channels. And we even talked about this last night. There is a protocol, and all astronomers are expected to stay in line, and specifically, if they pick up any evidence of intelligent extraterrestrials, any evidence, a signal, or any other evidence, this is not supposed to be leaked to the public. But it was. It was leaked on May 3rd. Now, there are three possibilities here. One, maybe four possibilities. One, it's a hoax. I don't think Wayne Herschel would be perpetrating a hoax. I don't know Judy Faltskog, but if she is an astronomer, and apparently she is, and working under contract with NASA, and apparently she is, I don't think she would have hoaxed it, but it could be a hoax. The second possibility is that it's a mistake, that it's some kind of weird something, some kind of weird signal that bounced off of something and came back, and it's a mistake. Another possibility is it's a real signal and a hoax. A real signal that by whatever means has been planted, being transmitted perhaps from some deep space probe or something in the direction of Aldebaran, and intended to see who's going to step out of line and go public, intended to see how the public reacts. You know, send up a balloon. Or as they say sometimes, let's raise the flag and see who salutes. So it could be that kind of thing. And then the fourth possibility is it could be a genuine, real, extraterrestrial signal. I wanted to see how this story developed. Now, what's interesting about this is almost immediately Judy Faltskog's Facebook page was taken down. Almost immediately. In fact, I think within 24 hours, that Facebook page disappeared. I read, and I have not been able to confirm, just didn't have time, but I read in some blogs and in some forums as well that her Twitter account has been canceled. Now people are saying, the headlines are saying that she has disappeared, and I cannot confirm that, but that's what's out there on the internet. If, in fact, she has disappeared, then I think what we're looking at is a replay of what happened to Dr. Lakhazar Filipov. And he disappeared for several days and then was back and was much changed. So, you know, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure what to think about this story. But the fact that the Facebook page disappeared, and apparently the Twitter account disappeared, and then now we're hearing she has disappeared. If all of that is correct, I would tend towards thinking that this is a real signal, and really from aliens. Apparently it's not directed to us, but has been intercepted by us. But I want to throw that out now, James, and ask you what you think about it.
First consideration to make on something like this is timing. What does it coincide with? And the second consideration to make with this, has it been released in such a way that it provides the secret keepers with deniability? Of course it does. Sacrificing this lady astronomer would be no biggie for them. And they would play it this way since they have a history of subterfuge and never being candid. So if they wanted to sell it, they would play it exactly this way. At the same time, they'd have deniability. So as this story unfolds, they don't get the reactions in the play they want, can be withdrawn and discounted, and this lady astronomer can be brought back into play and deny it and say that she was set up by the gentleman you interviewed. But I don't expect there to be anything in the way of disclosure about this, because I don't think this is the way disclosure would be brought about. What would be the motive of doing it? The motive would be to gauge the public's reaction. If you have people that up and shout, don't answer the signal, we don't want to take any chances, then they will know that they have sold the hostile ET hypothesis. If people are eager to learn more about this and are hopeful of some kind of response and some of sending a response and getting some kind of a dialogue with an ET presence, then I know they haven't sold their hostile ET thesis.
Okay, so are you saying that you think that this is not a signal from an extraterrestrial?
It may very well be, but it would be one of many. I'm sure that they have encountered many signals by now. The point is, why is it coming out now, and why is it coming out in the way that it is, with the factor of deniability built in?
Okay, so then does that imply that, let's say that it is actually a signal from extraterrestrials. Okay, does that imply, with what you're saying, that those extraterrestrials are sending this signal in cooperation with this plan?
No, not necessarily. Not at all.
So how would they coordinate? How would the powers that be, the secret keepers, how would they coordinate the discovery of this signal with...
That it just came in. It could have come in any time in the last 10 years. But it's being presented now. In fact, that can be faked and made to look contemporaneous if they wish. There are all kinds of subterfuges that they can use to dress this up with legitimacy. They're very good at that.
Okay, now the... you said something quite interesting there. This signal could have come in at any time, maybe within the past 10 years.
Yes.
What's interesting is that first, all of these radio telescopes, according to the information that's out there on the internet, and folks, that's a huge disclaimer. You understand that. When I tell you this information is out there on the internet, maybe this is real and maybe it's not. I mean, you know, the internet is quite a swamp. Okay, but according to that information, all these radio telescopes around the world have been activated and turned toward where this signal is supposed to be coming from. So far, none of them are reporting having picked up the signal. Okay, now that could mean two things. One, they didn't pick up a signal. Two, they did, but they're following protocol, which means they're not going to tell us. But let's say they didn't pick up a signal. Here's what's interesting about that with what you said, the way it sort of coalesces with the information you just gave us. Let's say this signal did come in, it's real, and let's say it came in 5 years ago. There is a recording out there on the internet, there's a sound file of this signal. Okay, so there is a sound file, and the radio telescopes didn't pick up a signal. So if that scenario is true, if that information on the internet is true, that would indicate that Judy Faltskog would be in cooperation with the plan putting out the information. She didn't pick up a signal if it came in 5 years ago. So it would mean she's in cooperation with this plan to run the flag up the pole and see who salutes.
I would say so. Of course, it would be suicide for her to let this out of the bag unless she's prompted to do so. And then it's still very dangerous for her to do it. She may just be being maligned, or we don't know. But I'm always willing to give the people that are set up in these little ploys credit and to give them the benefit of the doubt over the system, because experience will tell you the system is not candid. In fact, they're almost Machiavellian. So I would give her the benefit of the doubt in this, and as well the gentleman that you interviewed that told you about her.
Well, there's also I agree with you. There's also the possibility that these radio telescopes have picked up the signal, but they're following protocol. And protocol actually means all of those principles that I talked about when I did the show regarding the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams. So they're following the rules, and nobody's going to tell us, nobody official. In that scenario, it would be it would work like this. There is a signal. It is out there. They picked it up. She's correct. The radio telescope observatories are keeping protocol. She didn't, and she's suffering the consequences. Here is one of the last things that she wrote. She said, no, this is from Wayne Herschel, and he's talking about communications with her. He said, I was told that it has reached diplomatic levels. Guess who is the main negotiator? Pretty soon, we have to go on stealth mode as Facebook is infested by blokes with need-to-know and ex-security clearances. That is, if we want to get the truth out to the public. See, and here's a name. I tried this. I don't know what this means. But it says C. Morewich, Morewhich, Morewich, I feel is important. Got a lot of confused people walking up and down the corridors here at the observatory. Hope they keep politics out of science. Well, if she really hoped they would keep politics out of science, she's truly naive about the way the world works. Science is as much about politics and as much about religion as it is about science, in some cases even more so. But anyway, that was one of the last communications from her. We have to take a break. We'll be back with more of this in just a moment. We are back. My guest this evening, James Horak. And James, when we went away, we're sort of trying to decipher which way this thing went. What is your gut response to this? Is this a real signal that the official observatories are simply not reporting, and she's hung out to dry because it leaked? Or is this whole thing being manipulated?
I think it's being manipulated, and I think the poor lady will be hung out to dry. It's really a tempest in a teapot or teacup. We see and have reports of UFOs every day all over the world, some of them doing spectacular things. Why do we place this much significance on a radio signal from deep space?
Well, I agree with you, except for this. We have had for many years exposure to UFOs through film, then movie film, then video. So we've had exposure to UFOs for a number of years. We have steadfastly been told that there have been no intelligent signals received from space. And, of course, the science community keeps telling us that if they're out there, we ought to be able to detect their signals, their communications, sooner or later. That's what SETI is all about. On the one hand, I would generally agree with that. On the other hand, I would generally disagree with it because of this. If they are out there and they are as advanced as they would have to be to get from there to here, then they are traveling faster than the speed of light. That means they're traveling faster than the speed of radio. That means that any radio signal one of those ships transmitted while it's in flight here or from here to there, they would be outrunning their own radio signal. And it would arrive after they did. Radio travels at the speed of light. So I have said that if they're communicating, and it would appear that they would have to be, they're not using radio. I don't know what they're using, but they're certainly not using radio to communicate. They have to use something that runs faster than the speed of light in order to be able to communicate with any ships traveling at the speed of light. So, first, let me stop and ask, does that make sense to you?
Oh, yes, it does, but bear in mind that as we send further and further probes out, we are also picking up more and more indications of worlds that can support life. And this would suggest infinite worlds, infinite radio signals or communication. And it's almost impossible to believe, bearing in mind these things, that are more or less determined, that there are not pattern signals coming from deep space to our neighborhood.
Well, I think they are.
I distrust these people when they say that they are not receiving pattern signals.
Well, I think they are, but they're not radio. In fact, this signal is in, they say, near laser. That's what they're calling it, near laser signal. All right. Whatever it is that these advanced races are using, these advanced civilizations, if they're advanced, they're not using radio. All we have to do is look at us. It was just a few years ago when the most advanced communications on the earth were telegrams, the old key, you know, the dits and the dahs. And that was the most advanced communications on the planet. And that was just in the last century, which all of us living now were living in just a few years ago. At least everyone listening to this show. We were living in the last century, and it was early in the last century when the most advanced communication was telegram. Then we went to wireless radio, AM radio, and then we went from that to FM radio, and then it kept stepping up, and then you had, you know, the ultra-high frequency communications, the UHF communications in the 800 band. And that's what the police walkie-talkies are on. And then, we used a television signal, folks, is in the radio band wavelengths. It's not in on your radio selector dial. But it's still in the radio wavelengths. And then now we have abandoned that and gone digital for television. Okay, if we're advancing like that, James, it seems quite obvious that any civilization that's 1,000 years or 100,000 or 1,000,000 years ahead of us long ago gave up the primitive technology we have, and we're using that primitive technology to look for them and for their signals. And their signals will not even be detectable, I would think, by SETI, I could be wrong, but I think SETI's a joke.
Yes, SETI is a joke, more because of their dishonesty than anything else. But on the subject of communication, I'll guarantee you that ET from all over our galaxy has picked up our signals.
Oh yeah.
Has watched the I Love Lucy show. Has been able to transcribe in transliteration every conversation that they've wanted to, that they know more about us in truth than we know about ourselves. And so that doesn't stand to reason that if there are attempts at communication, that they wouldn't know how to contact us and deal with us. And for that reason, I'm sure they have.
So you're saying they could step down their technology and transmit on our wavelengths?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Now, I would buy that. I would buy that. But
why not?
Yeah, but see, here's what I'm talking about, and it's different. Their communications would not be the same as their communication with us. Their communications, one to the other?
Not with each other.
Yeah, there's no way we'll ever detect that. We don't have the technology. So if we're detecting something, it's something that is aimed at us.
Now, we have individuals that have. Nikolai Tesla made the connection. He contacted intelligent life from elsewhere.
Yes. And, you know, when he made that public, at that point, his career took a nosedive.
Yes. Well, that and the fact that Tesla wasn't a businessman. And when Edison cheated him out of $100,000, he thought it was okay to con J.P. Morgan. And so that didn't work out either. I think that Tesla went down primarily over cheating J.P. Morgan.
Business-wise, that's very likely the truth. But his stature in the public took a nosedive the instant he made it public that he had had communication with extraterrestrials. They started doing cartoons that showed him as going crazy and all kinds of stuff.
It was a very sad thing.
Yeah, it was.
The greatest technical mind of probably five centuries.
At least five. All right, now, you think this is being manipulated. So I want to know, who do you think is doing the manipulating?
Well, I firmly believe that there are a group of men, if not Majesty 12, then a group like that it's modeled after, and they are untouchable, and they are granted access to any asset, any agency. They can call on the Pentagon, they can call on a closed committee of any kind of congressional group. They can quiet any kind of information getting out, any kind of leak, or they can take any kind of action, even the most summary, to control whatever situation they want to control. I've seen indication of this, and I've seen how quickly they can operate, and any federal agent that's given a mandate from them will be obedient to it without hesitation.
Okay. So you're saying that it's going to be MJ-12 or whatever group has evolved from that.
I would say no more than 12 to 25 members, because beyond 25, the insiders do not like quantity in decision making. I'd be surprised if it was 25. It would be more like 12 to 15. They would be like thinking. They would have a lineage together. They would be able to count on each other's loyalty at all times.
When you say they have a lineage together, do you mean they are in the same bloodline?
Yes.
Do you have any idea what bloodline that would be?
I think that if you took 300 families out of the social register, you would find 10 basic lineages, very selective inbreeding, and they would end up, each one being representative of one family that controls one cartel.
And do you know the name of that family?
Beg your pardon?
Do you know the name of that family?
Well, the first one I would say would be the Rothschilds. Second one would be the Rockefellers. The third one would be the Liechtensteins.
All right. We'll have to wait till we come back from this break to get the rest of that. Folks, don't go away. Don't even breathe hard. We'll be back. Back. My guest this evening is James Horak, and we're talking about some pretty heavy stuff. Right now, the signal, or what we've been talking about, this signal that may or may not have been detected, that's the big story all over the internet right now. And James, I wish we had more time to talk about this. But time constraints being what they are, I need to move us on to another subject. And that is, and I believe you were watching the show the other night when I showed the video of something approaching the sun. And I want to show that again for those who are watching on our TV channel. And it's just an amazing thing. It looks like two spheres, but they're joined, one in front of the other, and approaching the sun. And I'd like to get your comment on that. What is that?
It's an EMV.
It's gigantic.
It is. They can assume any size and they can assume any shape, but they seldom will assume a shape like a disc, or because that would have little to do with their purpose, and they're task driven, and the whatever shape they assume is going to be able to enhance doing the task that they are designed to do. And they're making the display for you here.
So the whole purpose of this is to make a display.
Yes. Yes.
And why would they want to make a display?
Because they don't want to hurt you.
So it's this thing, this display is somewhat of a warning?
Well, the warning's already been given, and this is just to let everyone know their technology is beyond anything that anyone's likely to run into for thousands and thousands of years anywhere. Just think of the structural integrity of anything that big in that vicinity.
Well, the structural integrity of anything that big anywhere,
that's right,
would have to be just awesome. But approaching the sun like that and not being ripped apart or dragged into the sun,
not changing in the least its path.
Yeah. All right, now, in that show that I did where I showed this the first time, that the guest was Ron Regeer, and we were talking about some petroglyphs, and he showed us a petroglyph, ancient Hopi petroglyph, and he called it the Star Twins. He, according to him, the Hopi story about this is that there's one of these stationed in space above our North Pole and one above our South Pole, and their job is to keep our axis in its position. And according to the Hopi story, as Ron Regeer related it to us, if one of them or both of them ever were to leave their position, then the Earth would become unstable on its axis. Now, when I put those pictures side by side and looked at them, the petroglyph looks very much like this thing that is approaching the sun. And I wanted to ask you, what do you think about that? Is that the case?
The Australian Aborigine, the Hopi, and the Zuni have been able to carry on a tradition of passing on history from generation to generation in a pure form. And sometimes when it contexts so anciently that it becomes difficult to understand in the present context, they will speak of it as dream. And all three of them do this. It's just that the Hopi and the Zuni are both very secretive. And the Australian Aborigine is not. But they have a cosmology that's based on this recall. And it's the closest thing to what was experienced during a similar time period of the deep past. And it's more precious to record than written history, because written history is subject to politicizing, and this is not.
So is this thing that's approaching the sun one of these star twins that has left either the North or South Pole?
There are all kinds of ways of rectifying problems that lead to crisis, like pole shift. But I was a little bit annoyed at the way that Nibiru and Anunnaki are being played to confuse the issues. So you have something in the sun right now, or that was in the sun when that image was taken, that is appreciably larger than Nibiru could be, and far more dynamic. So that's the message there.
That's a little bit cryptic.
Not if you think about it.
So what you're saying is that this is not Nibiru?
No.
Okay. Then, in light of my question, it's one of the star twins.
Well, it's how people at the time of that experience might have remembered it and interpreted it, and it's a very interesting and articulate interpretation.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. We're seeing this thing only because we have SOHO satellite.
Yes.
How did those people see it? I'm talking about those ancient people that chiseled this into the rock. How did they ever see it?
I'll say this much, that their tradition harkens back to when they might have had more technology and insight, and also that they may have been more able to contact and communicate with people that could provide that information for them, let them know that there was something coming up, that they would survive it, that they what they needed to do to best protect themselves, and help them extend their longevity and establish a lineage. It's all about establishing a lineage.
You know, in that show, you heard me say, the show I did with Ron Regeer, who, by the way, is a very interesting and excellent guest. But you heard me say that Solomon, and this is anybody that wants to check this out, you can go to a very ancient manuscript, and it is translated into English. It is called the Book of Ecclesiastes in your Bible. Throughout that book, the statement is made, there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. All right, we are going to step away for just a couple of minutes, and we'll be back with James Horak right after this. We are back, and my guest this evening, James Horak. And those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. My sincere sympathy for your loss of the first hour. You know, some of our, one or two of our affiliate stations are not carrying the show Monday through Friday. My sincere sympathy to those of you listening to those stations and not getting this show tonight, and you'll hear all of this when you go to watch latest show or listen to latest show in the morning. Write to your affiliate station and tell them you want the whole busload Monday through Friday. Okay, James, we were talking about this thing that appeared on SOHO Satellite, and we were talking about the fact that apparently these very ancient people have seen it, and we talked about how they have seen it, how they possibly could have known about it. And you mentioned that there may have been knowledge of this from a time when there was high technology, and as the break took over, I quoted something from Solomon. He said, there's nothing new under the sun. And you know, my dad, you heard me say this, my dad and I talked about this, and I asked him, I said, well, what do you think that means? He said, I think it means what it says. I said, so you think, and I thought he was a little bit, you know, off target here at first. I said, so you think that they used to have cars, they had television, they had airplanes? And he said, there's nothing new under the sun. What we have now has been. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think that we have a very poor, inadequate concept of time to begin with.
Mm-hmm. But how does that relate to whether or not they had technology? High tech.
We think in terms of chronology that is partially fabricated by the way we put information together in our brains.
Mm-hmm.
If we actually saw what's there and we were in any way really influenced by the anomaly that archaeologists find all of the time, then we wouldn't be so eager and quick to construct false models of how time and sequence or chronology fits together. And we have too many anomaly upon the earth to simply sit back and say this happened because of this, or it happened at this time, and there we have the Bronze Age at this period, we have the Iron Age at this period, et cetera, because we have just continuous contradictions from evidence found in the ground to that all the time. And what I'm saying is that there are too many things in the stories of the Aborigines and the people like the Aborigines that are just universally relevant, and their concept of the past is based on a knowledge and a knowledge base that far exceeds primitive experience. And there are just frankly too many anomalies to actually believe conventional science can address much of anything adequately without trying to incorporate those anomalies to the point of resolving them instead of ignoring them.
So was there a time when high tech existed?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. All right, we're going to open up the telephone lines and the flash message board. Here's the way it works, folks. The telephone number, the main number here in the studio, and this number will work from anywhere in the world, is 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. That will work in the USA and Canada. If you're outside of the USA and Canada, I don't have a toll-free number that will work for you, but I do have flash messages. So you can go to my website, and you'll see a link that says flash message, and you can click it and send me a message, and I'll read it, and we'll talk about it. It does have to pertain to something we're talking about in the show tonight, but that's one way of getting your question or comment in front of me. Of course, from anywhere in the world, you can call 623-444-5889, and that will work. I want to kick it off with a flash message from Leonardo in Puerto Rico. And he says, hi, Kevin, very good show tonight. In regards to the cartel your guest was talking about, would the kingpin of those he mentioned be Lucifer?
They've made out of Lucifer as a fallen angel, a Promethean figure. And that ought to tell you that their self-sublimation is from rewriting history, which they're very good at. So, yes, it's Lucifer.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is Mark from Globe, Arizona.
Hello, Mark from Globe.
Hello, Mark.
Good to talk to you both tonight. James, I have a question. There's a theory that is being propounded by a number of people that at some point in the not-too-distant future, there will be more or less a parting of the ways of all people who live on Earth into, say, two or three categories, the good, the bad, and perhaps the indifferent, each which would perhaps go to a separate location or a different realm. Can you comment on that theory, please?
I think it's a prosaic theory. It would be nice if it were true, but I don't see that being very realistic. There in the past, something like that did happen, and the times are not the same. So I think today what you have is you have an entrenched power group that's not content to lose any degree of its power, and that has become rogue as far as dealing with ET, dealing with almost anything. And I think that they're intractable and they're very dangerous. And I think that they are out of control.
Understand. So the idea of beings parting the way, that was for a different time and place.
Yes, yes, things are different. Things are too unilaterally decided today. I don't think that's possible. I mean, I would prefer that as an option, but right now we are faced with one thing or the other. So,
understand. Thank you very much for your answer.
All right, Mark, thanks for the call.
That was a very good question.
Yeah, it's a question that I had not thought of, and a question that certainly is apropos to the discussion. All right, back to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello, guys. Great show tonight, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes, and you're welcome, James. You know, I think researchers like yourself, James, like yourself, Jason Martell, Michael Kremel, Graham Hancock, pretty much proved that we were very highly technologically advanced, at least before the last glacial maximum, if not throughout it. I want to know, judging by your research, do you think that whatever happened at the end of the last ice age, do you think that our extraterrestrial friends are trying to warn us that the same thing may be happening again?
No. I think that there are other considerations they're concerned about. And it's only been recently that I understood and was very astonished and happy about they've become players on the side of humanity, and that they are in the wings, and I'm sure that they're willing to help once we get to a point where we can be helped.
And on a different note, the ancients that saw these things also, as we know that the ancients were also very more spiritual than we are today. Do you think that there may have been some? Do you think them being able to see these that object in the sun and celestial objects that the ancients have been very accurate about? Do you think remote viewing may have had a hand in that somehow?
I think that's a good consideration. Sure, I think that they had what they call soothsayers, shaman, and I think these people could enhance a state of mind. They could do things that we hear about today that are still being done among the Aborigines, Mayan even, and they know how to utilize this kind of gift better than we do.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kevin. All right. Telephone lines are open. 623-444-5889. Toll free in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. Outside the USA and Canada, you can call that main number, or you can send me a flash message. And I check the flash message board here frequently, so I'll be glad to read your comment or your question. what importance, other than just a display, what importance do you think this thing, this EMV that is in the latest SOHO video, SOHO satellite video, what importance does it have? What's it up to? What do we need to understand about that, other than it's a demonstration?
It's compacting the core of the sun.
Compacting the core of the sun?
Yes.
Okay, well, what's that going to do to the sun?
Stabilize it.
Okay, and now if it didn't do that, what would happen with the sun?
It wouldn't be able to control the solar flares that are building up. There would be more pulsing. There would be a potential for more harm being done to the planets in the system.
Okay, so it's in a way, then, it's taming the sun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing for planet Earth.
Indeed. Necessary.
All right, let's go back to the telephone line. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Stefan. Sorry. Kevin, it's Stefan from Quebec City.
Hello, Stefan.
Hello. I was wondering... I'm sorry?
How are you?
Oh, I was just wondering if you folks had caught the first crop circle of the season, 2010. It actually looks like a disc close to a large orb.
I don't think I've seen it.
What?
It looks like a large disc that's close to a large orb, and the orb looks like it's emanating some sort of waves.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, first crop circle of the season in the UK anyway, and over 180 feet long.
So it looks like a disc next to an orb, and the orb is emanating waves.
Yep.
James, do you have any idea what that could mean?
Some sort of an eye, and within that disc also it looks like there's, well, to me it looks like portholes or windows, but that's in the crop circle.
I haven't seen
it. On the cropcircleconnector.com.
James, do you have any idea what that could mean?
Well, I don't want to be self-aggrandizing.
Okay. So, it means it's a special message. It says James Horak is going to be king. Is that what it is?
No. I think that crop circles are have more to do with what's below them than anything else, and they can have meaning, they can have relevance, but it's all in the interpretation.
All right. Stefan, do you have another question or comment?
Nope, that's it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. 623-444-5889. And toll-free in the USA and Canada, the number is 888-223-4599. So, do you put much stock in crop circles?
Well, it's in many ways, there are so many interpretations that can be put to them. Every once in a while, something really sticks out, and it's like a piece of the puzzle. Now, that alone is not the message, but it is in relationship to some other crop circles or other formations on Earth. They're mounds, they're mound complexes. If you'll look at Earthlink sometimes, and you will go across and get detail at about the same resolution that these crop circles are, if you were hunting for them, you'll find that there are all sorts of designs and some of them are recent, but they will have sometimes suggest more meaning, more acute meaning than most any crop circle. And who's to say that people are activity today that's going on the earth that might seem just completely irrelevant to messaging us in any way, couldn't by virtue of chance and the way chance works sometimes with the subliminal, that it couldn't be meaningful. But if you look at these things in toto, I think you'll see that there are a number of things that become patterned after a while. And I think that right now, if you want any kind of meaning at all, and it's the fact that people are paying attention and that they are looking for answers they never looked for before, and that those answers can be found.
All right, back to the telephone line. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, my name is Jackie. I'm from Florida.
Hello, Jackie.
Okay. And I just had a couple of questions I had written from James's last visit.
All right.
And he had talked about when he was four and he was in New Mexico and had the incident with the ETs.
Mm-hmm.
And he also talked about how that he has been around a long time. And I wondered if there was any relationship between that and the Roswell incident. And one more thing also, and then I'll take the answer offline. Can we develop an ability to disrupt the EBs and their vehicles like he can? Is it possible
yes.
for us to learn to do that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Can you tell us how? Would it be through prayer and meditation or just from will?
Both. I think basically what you have to build a very strong model in your mind. You have to acquire the ability to hate ambivalence. You have to go through a process of unifying context to a point where you can go from A to B to C to D without centering back on doubt. And when
just
you
all of
this,
it at a single point in time.
Oh yeah. The human mind is wonderful, and it has powers. With when you're afraid of something, when something disgusts you, when you can momentarily actually energize traits that are genotypic into phenotypic expression.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not a science yet on this planet. One day it will be. But at that
so
moment,
this is almost like you feel this in your gut, in your core, correct?
Oh yes, oh yes. It comes from. It doesn't come in from the mind first. It comes in from the gut.
Yes.
And it's revulsion, and then all of a sudden, I can feel just something building up in me that is Vesuvian, and EBs cannot stand that. They will just totally. They try to get inside your mind, and what you do is it's like you're grabbing their circuitry and just wrenching it,
and you drive them.
Everything blows. I mean, you killed them.
So was there anything in the Roswell connection between you or someone like you who had that ability at that time in New Mexico, or not related at all?
You're asking me for a question that's going to reverberate across ufology.
Okay.
Yes, those were the ships that crashed in Roswell, and the one that crashed near Roswell, and then the one that crashed further west.
So that night when you talked about that, I wrote it all down. I listened to it again, and I thought, the next time you're on, I missed the first part of the show, and when I got on and you were here, I thought, I prayed nobody had talked to you about this yet, because I really wanted to hear the answers, and I really appreciate it.
You're the first person to ever put that together. My hat's off to you.
Well, I guess you must have, because the first Well, as soon as I dialed your number and Kevin picked up, my feed kind of went away, and I was only I guess I was only just listening through the phone at that point. So,
sure
meant for all of us to hear, I think, James.
Thank you.
All right, Jackie, thank you for the call. That's pretty sharp. You know, I don't claim by any stretch of the imagination to be the sharpest tack in the box, but I'm not the dullest. And, you know, I didn't put that together. So when you're 4 years old and you had this encounter with these EBs, and you told us about that in your last visit here, and I think you told us about it in your first visit as well. But when you disrupted their ship, in fact, there were two ships, two UFOs, those are the ones that crashed in the area of Roswell, one just outside of Roswell and one further north.
Yes.
Wow. So you are the one that shot them down.
They shouldn't have messed with my mother.
That's a good message, too. That's an excellent message, especially since Mother's Day is coming up. All right, we're going to step away for a break. When we come back, Ross, I'll bring up your flash message first. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone lines are open, and we have a flash message here from the United Kingdom from Ross. He says, hi, a bit of a newbie here, and just found the Kevin Smith Show last week, but what is an EMV, the SOHO object? So, James, if you can give us a real quick thumbnail of what is an EMV.
A task-driven vehicle which uses energy, can convert it, and is responsible for beginning life on a planet, controlling the planet's fusion star, and permitting the longevity for culture and sentient life to develop lineage to a point of civilization and beyond. These are the mechanisms by which the universe builds planetary systems that are friendly to the kind of life that it can produce intelligence and host it.
Okay, and EMV stands for electromagnetic vehicle, right?
Yes, that's what Dr. Norman Berggren named them, and out of deference, that's what I continue to call them.
And, Ross, if you do some research on the Internet, Dr. Norman Berggren, you will find that these are massive vehicles that he discovered in the rings of Saturn originally. All right, to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Well, y'all have already taken a hit. Taken two of them exactly.
We've taken more than that. We've taken. I'm looking at the control panel, and we've taken six hits.
But it knocked my video feed off, and even when I tried to refresh and come back, it just sits there making a long circle, showing that it's not connecting, and it knocked my audio feed off, and I had to restart it to get the show.
Uh huh. Well, we're glad you're back.
On you.
You know, when we talk about things like this, we're going to get hit.
Yes, I know, and I think James said a couple of things there that they just did not want said.
That's okay. We got them, and they'll be in the K-Pods in our archives. It'll be in the latest show, watch latest show, and listen to latest show. And so they can harass us now, but the word will get out.
Exactly.
We will be harassed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to be harassed. You keep on talking to me like that.
Did you have a question or a comment?
No, the thing about it, that lady that called and you put together about James being the cause of the Roswell crash, either directly or indirectly. You know, I had never, as many times I've talked to him, I'd never even thought about that.
She's pretty sharp, huh?
I would think so.
She
yeah.
is.
Yeah. I guess I'm just slow.
We have someone we can blame.
Well, Mike, I wouldn't argue with you.
No, I wouldn't argue. All right, I'll just wanted to let you know that we have been suffering on both radio and video.
Oh, yeah, I'm watching the control panels. I can tell we're being hit. Thanks for the call. Yeah, for anybody that's new that's listening to us, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the target. We do get hit. We get hit very often. When we had Marshall Masters on, not only did they hit us, we actually caught them on audio because they were stupid enough to leave their mic open. And we caught them in the background, and I played it the next night. Marshall enhanced the audio, and where you could clearly hear what it was I was hearing in my headphones, and I played it the next night. Morons, absolute morons. Okay, Bob in Australia says, "Hi, Kevin. My question to James is: do you think, with all the recent activity happening in Australia with UFOs?" Is this activity linked with these guys that are around the sun?
Yes, I would imagine that there are two considerations with Australia. One is that it is where the NSA has the biggest installation, and that the Australian government has had a lot of problems with reports coming in from all over that they do not have the polish to deal with, like the Air Force and the astronomers here do. So I would think that basically it's the reportings that are coming in, not so much the UFO or the incidents of the UFOs, because Australia has always been a hotbed for UFO sightings. They just don't get reported as much.
Well, you know, I agree with what you're saying, except your use of the word polish when you talked about the way they deal with it here in the U.S. You know, these guys must be hiring third graders as script writers for their spin stories, because they put out some of the most ludicrous, stupid spin stories that you can possibly imagine. And, you know, and they've been doing that for years.
Kevin?
Do what?
I don't think they really want you to believe them.
Well, what do you think? You think, okay, we have to put a story out, but we don't want the public to believe it? Is that what you're saying?
I think they want you to believe that there's something there to be afraid of, and at the same time, they're protecting you not by not telling you, of course. And so that line of thinking, or distortion, actually goes through the entire military-industrial complex. You know, this is something just so beyond you, you just count on us. We're taking care of you. Look at the convolutions they went through to keep Howard Hughes alive long after he died, so that his estate wouldn't be probated and the secret projects they were working on wouldn't have a greater chance of being penetrated within the Hughes Corporation.
Now, that was a guy
going up to see him in that hotel. All knew that that wasn't Howard Hughes.
Well, that was a guy that absolutely, if it came to technology, he was absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
Absolutely. Do you know that the guidance system I saw this in a documentary. I can't vouch that it's true. I haven't seen the original documents, but I saw it in a documentary. The guidance system that was used on the Patriot missiles was developed, and you know, Patriot, during Gulf War I, we were all just sitting around watching the Patriot missiles with our mouths hanging open. These things were unreal. But the guidance system for those was developed by Hughes Aircraft in the 1960s. That's how old that was.
Well, he was one of those all-around geniuses. He had a genius at just about anything he decided he wanted to do.
Kind of like Tesla.
A different kind of Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
History's replete with individuals like this. Da Vinci, Galileo Galilei, Copernicus, these were men, I mean, if they hadn't been living in times when they had to be afraid of being burned at the stake, no telling what they would have discovered and passed on to us.
Well, if we weren't living in times when scientists had to fear being disappeared, no telling what they could lead us into. Let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, James. It's Boomer from Vancouver Island.
Hello, Boomer.
Hello, Boomer.
Hi. Two quick questions, James. Is there going to be a mass landing event sometime this year? And second question, this 2012 thing, is it all about the end of duality? Then that's it. I'll take my answers off there. Thank you.
Thanks, Boomer.
Those are all interesting questions, Ed. And really, it all depends. To answer both of them, all depends on the circumstances. I would love to see things happen where E.T. felt comfortable about establishing official contact with people on Earth and establishing diplomatic relations, and that would be the most wonderful thing for mankind that there could be. And it could happen. It could happen this year. It could happen in 2-3 months. But the situation is artificial. The powers that be don't want that, because they fear that it is a threat to their power structure and status quo. The elite do not want to lose any of their cartels. They do not want to lose the locks that they have on banking. They do. There are so many things that they are fearful of, that's the last thing they want. So that's what's keeping this from happening, because the willingness on the other side is there.
All right, what about 2012? Is it about the end of duality?
Well, anything can happen between now and 2012. It just depends on what these people decide they're going to do.
All right, back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Hi, James. I missed half the show tonight, so I apologize if you already talked about this, but I was wondering if you can talk about SERPO. Have you read this latest SERPO release about...
No, I haven't. No.
Oh. Well, it talks about
I'm not a fan of the SERPO Chronicles.
Okay. Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Because I want to ask you, too, about how widespread do you think disinformation really is in this field? And how could somebody tell when they're reading something if what they're reading is complete bunk
We understand. We're almost to break. We'll have to answer that when we come back from break. So when we come back from break, James, how can people tell whether something is disinformation or not? That's where we're going to pick up. Is that all right with you?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. All right, folks, we're going to step away here for a break in about 8 seconds. And we'll be gone for 2 or 3 minutes. When we come back, we'll be on Final Approach. And that means we'll only have a few minutes left if you plan to call. You need to get your fingers ready. We'll be back. Right, welcome back. We're on Final Approach here at the Kevin Smith Show for Thursday evening. And if you have planned to call, you've been saying, I want to call, or you've been trying to get in and couldn't get in, now's the time. All the lines are open. 623-444-5889 is the main number. Again, 623-444-5889. The toll-free number in the USA and Canada is 888-223-4599. And we're talking with James Horak. James, I want to go back to this thing that's around the sun for just a moment. Do these things that are around the sun portend, from our point of view, from the point of view of human life on Earth, do they portend good or ill for us?
Well, if they weren't there, there would be no Earth like we know it.
How long have they? How long have they been there?
They've always been in the system. Every system that has started a lineage has them throughout, and sometimes they're more prominent than others. They've been in the sun. I'm sure that NASA and JPL have picked them up in their images over the years many times and just made sure they weren't real noticeable.
Made sure they brushed them out, I guess.
I've noticed that in some of the images since we've been talking about them, there is an area of blur which indicates to me that they burst something out. But they're part of nature. They are needed. They're necessary. Astrophysicists need to contend with them and incorporate them into their theories and understand that they're a mechanism that's required for any solar system to be able to support a culture, a civilization that can reach a point where they can become a factor elsewhere. And if they'll do that, then they'll find that there are a lot of anomalies they can contend with, resolve. They can take the next step up instead of just, you can be in a box, but at the same time, you can be at the other extreme too. You can be just so scattered that you're talking about this theory and that theory. Your idea of creationism is this, or your idea of the Big Bang is that, and string theory, et cetera, et cetera. And all of these things in time are going to be challenged and resolved to be false.
Okay, so that brings us back to Ryan's question. How can we, when we read something, for instance, on the internet, how can we know if something is disinformation? Is there a way?
Oh, I think there is. Every one of us can use probability in a common sense. And when you find somebody that says something challenging, like me, for instance, if you dig down, if you go back and you find out what I've said in the past or the arguments that I've had with ufologists and which are out there, if you find these things, then just use your judgment. See if I'm all wet, or if I seem to know what I'm talking about, or if what I say makes sense to you. And and then weigh that against what they're saying. Now, if I'm consistent, that's for my favor, but that's just one aspect of it. See if I resolve anomaly to your satisfaction and apply that to everything else. Apply that to everything else, and then you'll start using, if you get enough information, you can start applying probability, which is what ufologists should do. The information's there.
On our TV channel, after the show, one night last week, I showed a documentary in which a NASA scientist, it's an old documentary, but this NASA scientist was asked the question, what is the probability that there is extraterrestrial life? And without hesitation, even before the question was finished being asked, he said one. So it kind of went like this. What is the probability? What does, and in fact, the question is, what's the official position? What does NASA think is the probability that there's extraterrestrial life? One, just like that.
Yep.
And then he explained, one means it's certain.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if NASA would say that's their official position now, but this documentary was shot in the late 1970s. And he was a NASA scientist, and not a contractor. He was a NASA scientist, and he said their official position was that extraterrestrial life, the probability was one. He was also asked, so do you think that UFOs are real? He said, oh, without question. Without question. He said, I'm not convinced that they're from other planets, but without question, they're real. And that's why some people get upset with me, James, when they hear me say the stupidest question you can ask somebody is, do you believe in UFOs? What is there to believe? They either exist or they don't. And if they do, they do.
People that ask that question must think that that half the human race is composed of fanciful liars.
I guess. I don't know how you could even put those words together in a question and then say it in public, ask it in public, because it's just embarrassingly dumb. There's nothing to believe. They either exist or they don't. And, you know, are cameras taking pictures of hallucinations? Of course not.
It amazes me. It amazes me how many times people, you can be with somebody and see something, and it's incredible. And until you start pointing it out to them, they don't see it. I mean, their mind is putting together a completely different scenario that they're more comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in a case like that, what they are thinking of is actually a hallucination rather than reality.
Yes, it is. It is an inverted hallucination.
Mm-hmm. And all just to make sure that we walk away from this still coloring between the lines.
Well, it's like a movie. You want to leave that movie feeling that everything's resolved, and when you get home, there's not going to be anything under the bed.
Mm-hmm. James, we are just about out of time. Let me ask you very quickly now. You look at the future from the point of view that I think anybody would say your point of view is a unique perspective, but from your perspective, does the future look positive for the human race, or does it look negative?
We're going to know very soon. I'm very, very hopeful. I've been in touch with a lot of different people who are waking up and realizing that they have options they didn't realize before. And I've watched a lot of magnificent minds working in ways that can turn this around. I mean, consciousness, it can be collective, and I see that that there is a community of thought here, and that community of thought is very reassuring. I want to believe that the inevitability is growth, and so that's what I'm going to focus on. But we have to be aware that right now we're not in control of the circumstances.
All right. Well, as always, this has been absolutely fascinating. It always is when you're with us, and I thank you for being here. If you will, stay on the line with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.